Welcome to the Summit Valley Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope this message blesses you. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by giving from the link in the details. You can also stay up to date at the Summit Church Valley on Facebook.
This past week, I actually flew out. I was gone for a week, if you didn't know. If you didn't notice me, gone. Oh, that kind of stinks. But I was gone. I flew to Las Vegas, Nevada, however you want to say it. A buddy of mine works at a church out there. And so I flew out, and he brought me out to their youth ministry was going to California on a camp, and he wanted me to film the whole thing. And if there's one thing I learned is that the teenagers on the West Coast are just as bad as the teenagers on the East Coast. But it was so cool to see like how they all interact. Like there was a kid there who could have swore he was the next LeBron. I was like, that reminds me of Demir. And like, so every kid I saw out there, I was like, oh, that reminds me of Trayton. That reminds, there's a girl that didn't want to talk. I said, that reminds me of Dorothy. I mean, Bree, sorry. That reminds me of Dorothy. And I was like, it's so cool to see how youth way over here are the same as youth over there. But I missed you guys Wednesday. I really did. But I heard that Justice brought it Wednesday night. And she's so cool. So we're going and we're getting on the bus, right? So we're in Las Vegas. We had about a 4-hour drive over to California. And so I'm on the bus, like a big old charter buses. There's 3 charter buses, got all these youth in the back, like listening to this crazy music, doing all their crazy things. I'm at the front because I'm old now. And I didn't want no part of it. So I'm at the front chilling, driving. And we get to the camp and we start to pull in. And so it's a charter bus and he thinks he can make it around this thing. So we're trying to make it around. Turns out he can't. Now we're stuck. So the bus driver's having to figure out how to do like a 15-point turn on a charter bus. And everybody, all of a sudden, you hear in the back of the bus, you hear the students. It starts in the back. You know, that's where the cool kids are in the back. And it starts to work its way up to the front. And you hear everybody start saying, I'm ready to get off this bus. Let me get off this bus. We're here at the camp. Why can't we get off the bus? And everybody's just fussing and arguing. Like, they're at this point, they've had enough. They know we're at the camp. They can see the camp. They want to get off the bus. But what they didn't know is that outside was the leaders and the bus driver trying to figure out how to get them to where they needed to be. Because if they could have had it their way, they could have got off the bus. They would have had to grab their big old suitcase luggages, and they would have had to hike probably about 2 miles to the top. And we're in a mountain. Have to go up the mountain to their cabin. All that extra work to get to where they needed to be. But what was going on outside of the bus was the leaders and the bus driver trying to figure out a way to get the bus up to the cabin so they didn't have to do the work. But if they could have had it their way, they would have got off and they had to do all the extra work because they did not want to wait. I'm already in the sermon. And yeah, I love it. I love it. They did not want to wait. And they're going to have to do all the extra work. What are the plans of God that we can't see yet? That we know he's trying to get us where we need to be, but we just need to get out of the way and enter into a season of waiting. Or even if you're already in the season of waiting, what do you need to do while you're in it? What is God doing right now outside the bus that we can't see or hear? That if we only knew what he was talking about, if we only knew what God was stirring up, that we would be perfectly fine with sitting on the bus and waiting however long it took, because we know he's trying to get us to where we're supposed to be. Amen. So the question I want to ask this morning as we jump in is, what happens when your delay feels like a denial? When what you're trying to get to is being delayed and it's taking longer than you hope it does, but instead of seeing it as a delay in your mind, you're saying, I'm being denied. It's not what I'm supposed to do. What happens when we have to wait? This whole week leading up, and you know, Nate, as you're preparing a message, there's like 1,000 thoughts in your head trying, should I talk about this passage? Should I talk about this passage? What should I do? And so I was reading, and I love the story of the Good Samaritan, if you're familiar with that story. This lawyer, and this was where I was going with this message at first. The lawyer comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the scripture say? And he says, well, love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor. Jesus says, very good, end of discussion. But the lawyer wants to kind of justify himself, make himself feel good. He says, but wait a minute, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus sees it as an opportunity to go into a little story time. If you know Jesus, he loves stories. And so he says, well, there's a man traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So assuming to be a Jew, and he's traveling down on this path that's known for robbers, and the robbers hide out in the den, and he's traveling down, he's about halfway through, and he gets jumped and beaten and left for dead, robbed, and he's laying on the side of the road, and he's there, and all of a sudden a priest starts walking down. And so the man is instantly probably thinking, oh, a priest, I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be helped, thank goodness. What the priest does is, as the man's laying on the side of the road, he goes to the other side of the road and walks on by. And we could jump into religion and all this stuff and talk about, you know, how the priest should have helped, but the priest didn't. The priest walked by and left him. And then the Levite comes down the road. And so the man's probably still thinking, oh, this is going to be great for me, I'm about to get helped. But the Levite does the same thing and walks on by. Now, two people have went by this man, leaving him on the side of the road. And then here comes a Samaritan down the road. And the detail on the Samaritan is that the Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. And so even for Jews, if they had to travel somewhere and Samaria was in the way, they would go way out of their way just to avoid that town, because that's how big of like a rivalry it was. Like, they did not like each other at all. And so when the Samaritan came down the street, he thought that, you know, there's no way this guy's about to help me. But in the story, the Samaritan picks the man up, puts him on his donkey, rides him into town, takes care of him, pays for it, does everything he needs to do to take care of the man. And Jesus asks the lawyer, he says, now, which one was the neighbor? And he says, well, the last one. And all Jesus said was, go and do likewise. Take such a complex, the lawyer tried to make it so complex, and Jesus made it so simple. Go and do likewise. And that was going to be my message, because I feel like in the church, that's a message we need to hear. But then I kept reading the story, and I started thinking about, instead of the Samaritan coming down and helping, I started thinking about the man. And I was thinking how when he woke up that morning, he was in Jerusalem, and he had a plan to get to Jericho. Jerusalem to Jericho. That was what was on his mind. Jerusalem to Jericho. But at some point in the journey, he gets robbed, beat, and pushed to the side. And now his journey has been detoured and delayed. Oh, another great word. Delayed. What he woke up that morning with, the plan he woke up with, was from Jerusalem to Jericho. And now it's delayed. Never saw it coming. Right? How many times have life hit you and you never saw it coming? And now your plan from getting here to here has now been delayed. There's an extra stop. Maybe there's an extra 2 stops. Maybe there's an extra 10 stops. And you still haven't got to the destination yet. There's a man in the pool. We talked about this in youth. The man at the pool of what? Do y'all remember the name of the pool? Bethesda. Thank you for my Bible scholars back here. 38 years he waited by that pool. 38 years. We talked about this in youth. 38 years. And his excuse was, I can't be the first one to get into the pool when it's stirred up so I can be healed. And then Jesus walks by and sees him and says, do you want to be healed? The man says, yes. And all Jesus did was, well, pick up your mat. 38 years waiting on it. What about that kind of detour? Maybe, you know, some of us are thinking short term. What if somebody in here has been waiting for something for years and you still haven't seen it come to happen yet? What do we do then? You're stuck waiting. You don't know what's next. But listen, never mistake the delay for denial. Because if you know who our God is, a delay does not mean denied. There's rich treasure in a delay, because that gives us precious time with God when you're waiting. Delay does not mean denied. The dream that God placed in your heart, for some of us, is a dream. It's not just a fantasy. It's not just a, I hope it happens, but it's not something that has to stay a dream. If you're willing to dig deep when you're in that season of the detour of denial, if you're willing to dig deep and do the work on yourself with God's guidance, the delay will be what allows you to more fully fulfill the promise that God has spoken over your life. If you know Pastor Mark, he loves purpose. Every single person in here has one. And if you're willing to just wait, you may not know your purpose until you're 60-something for you to figure it out. You may know it already, but God is going to show you what that purpose is, and you're going to be able to walk. And once you're walking in a purpose, like, I spent a season outside of church ministry working 8 to 5, and I would come home so mad at the world, miserable. But the minute that Pastor Mark gave me this opportunity, it's like my whole attitude just, because I was walking in what I know God created me for. And it changes everything that you're in. When I was at that that camp for a week, for way too long, I got so ready to come home. I was ready to come home. Sleeping on a little, you've been to camp, and they got them little blue mattresses that are like sticky, and just like a little twin size, sleeping on that. And I'm in there with probably, you know, all these nasty high school boys. That's who we're with, the high school boys. They stink, and then they try to hide the stink with Axe body spray or whatever they have. So now you got stink, plus everybody's mixture of cologne in the room. And then you got people with food, and then everybody's wanting to listen to their own music as loud as they can. No headphones. Everybody's just jamming. So I'm at the camp, and from 7:30 when we woke up to 11:30 at night, everything was scheduled. I mean, you had to be here at this time, here at this time, here at this time. And my job was to get between both camps. There's two camps, high school, middle school, and I had to take my camera around. I had to film everything. Like, I was there to make a 30-minute like documentary-type video is what they flew me out there to do. So I'm trying to get footage the whole time, going everywhere. And all week, to get to my cabin, there's a suspension bridge that you had to cross, and it went across this dried-up creek. And all week, I'm just like hustling, getting to where, I've got to be here, dang it, this way. Like going between middle school and high school, all week, back and forth, back and forth. And then Thursday, our last full day at the camp, I was walking to lunch, I was by myself, and I got to the suspension bridge, and I started walking, and I stopped about halfway, and I just kind of looked around, and this is what I saw. Preston, you put that picture up? And this is what I saw when I stopped on the bridge. I just stopped and I looked. And I was like, all week, I walked on this bridge back and forth over a dozen times and never stopped and looked at what was around me. I was in such a hurry with my plans to get from point A to point B that I never got to enjoy the beauty of what was around me if I would have just stopped and waited for a minute. And it was right in front of me. And so I stood on this bridge just like this. This is the same way I was facing for about 20 minutes. Just an emotional wreck, just sitting there and making sure nobody was coming because I didn't want them to ruin my Jesus time. And I'm sitting there looking at this view. And my mind started thinking back to all the times where I did have to wait. You know, when you enter into the season of waiting, you think it's the end of the world. You're upset because you're not where you want to be. But when you look back on those seasons of waiting, you see how God brought you out. And you see how the waiting didn't even seem that long. I've told this story before, but I have these waves on my arm because one time, another trip in California, I was out swimming with my friends in an ocean, and the riptide or whatever it was, I don't know, I went underwater and it pulled me under. And I was trying to come up and breathe, and I was panicking, I was freaking out, and the next thing you know, I'm getting spun like this, and I come washing up on shore, and I'm freaking out, panicking, I thought I was about to die, and all my friends are just laughing, and I said, what kind of friends are you? I almost just died in the ocean. And I was like, I was under there for what, you know, like a minute. I couldn't breathe. And they're like, no, you weren't. I said, yes, I was. I was in it. You weren't in it. You were watching me laughing. I was in it. And they go, dude, you were in there for like 7 seconds. And I was like, whoa. While I was in it, it felt like forever. But when the people on the outside were looking at it, when I was able to get to their perspective, it was only 7 seconds. When you're in it, it feels like you're never going to get out. But once you're out of it and you're able to look back, like you're able to think back of all, I want you to think of something God's done. It doesn't have to be big. How much of your life it was compared to what you have left. How you probably don't even think about it as much as you probably used to think about it every single day. You let it consume you with worry, with fear. And so I was here and I was thinking about back in 2019, Katie and I had a battle we had to face. You know, you said it earlier, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And we were looking at it, and I was looking at it, and I was thinking about how we had to go through that season. And it wasn't just that the weapon was formed. You know, that's one thing, the weapon's formed, here's the weapon. But for months, we had to watch the weapon be formed, which made it even harder. And then the devil tried to bring that weapon up to us. But I was able to watch, and that was actually crazy because that was our song we listened to on the way to handle all this stuff. We listened to that song, I'll repeat over and over. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Because my God knows only how to win. He's never lost a battle. And we listened to that song, and I started thinking, man, God moved a mountain for me that I thought was impossible to move. And he sat me down in a season of waiting. And all he wanted from me and Katie was just to acknowledge how good he is. He wanted us to settle down because we were in such a hurry. We were stressing it. Every morning, I'd feel sick to my stomach over it. We were so consumed by it. But all God was saying was just have a seat. My favorite verse is, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Have a seat. What do we do when we're waiting? Just wait. Worship. Praise. Pray. Man, the prayers that Nate, like I would love to, next time I'm having something going on, I'd love to just go to Nate's house and say, Nate, let me just lay on the floor with you and pray. Because that's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us worrying about every single day. What's he say? Don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worries of its own. We don't have to worry. Look who's in control. And you don't worry when you've been through something like that. And I know everybody in here has been through something. You start to realize, I don't have to worry. Because look what he's already done for me. Why would I worry anymore? So I stopped and I was able to find beauty, which is crazy to think beauty in a delay, but I was able to find beauty in the delay. This morning, I'm hoping this is what we're about to go into in a minute, and I want to see in our church, right? I don't want us just to come through the door and sit down and, okay, Sunday's over, let's go home. I want, as a family, for us to see victories in this room. And we were talking about it earlier, and the song we were singing, and Miss Lisa was talking about just opening up your mouth. Listen, I don't know if you think that's weird or not. I grew up very Southern Baptist. I would never in my life be like, oh, you know, miracles are what Jesus did. We don't do miracles. But now I've seen too much. Just this year, I've seen cancer leave my mom's body. Just this year, I've seen my oldest son be delivered and get the best mom legally adopted now. A prayer that we prayed that was like, there's no way this can happen. There's no way it can happen. How in the world is God going to make a way without paying $1,000 for court, without having to do all this stuff for him to be in her hand? And we saw it happen this year. I've seen too much to, you can't tell me that God's not still working. You can't tell me that miracles don't work. You can't tell me that the Holy Spirit inside of me, that when I open up my mouth, that I can, just the youth, I don't know our Chance is in here, but the youth, we prayed over a boy that was in a coma, and the next week Chance comes tell me he's awake. You can't tell me that he's not still working. You can't tell me that the waiting is not worth it. There's so much beauty in the waiting. And when you start to just draw closer to God, then the distraction of what you're waiting on doesn't even matter anymore. We've heard story after story about marriages in this church. We've had other families we pray for that had to go through similar stuff we did, see their kids. Justice. We pray for her that night, and then what? Good news. You can't tell me. I want our mindset to shift in this room, that if we're waiting, that we're not just waiting and we're not scared, we're not unsure, but to go ahead and start thanking God for it. And watch what will happen when you go ahead and start thanking God. Even if it doesn't happen right away, watch how your mind gets off of the worry and your mind just now goes to, well, it's already been done. You know, look, situations with job, God, I thank you for fixing that situation. Marriage struggles, God, thank you for making my marriage the best it can ever be. Cancer or sickness in the body, God, I thank you for healing my family. I thank you for restoring relationships in my life. I thank you for revival breaking out in our city. I thank you for leading my kids up into a way that they're going to fall so in love with you when they're older that they're going to surpass anything I could have ever done. Man, I'm thanking God now for things that aren't going to, that I may not see in my lifetime. Waiting produces a harvest. When someone plants something, it doesn't come up right away. You have to wait. And the only time something, if I pray for something and it's already right away, guess what? I probably have somebody praying on my behalf. That's what I love our church. Here's why I love my church. no other church have I been at when I've preached on a Sunday morning. I've sat there, they've done the service, I got up and prayed. This morning I had three people come to me, not even talk to me, just put their arms around me and start praying for me and praying for what I'm about to say. Three people, nobody ever does that. Nowhere else I was, but the people here, they pray for you. That's why I love my church. I know that if we say, hey, we need prayer, somebody's not like, well, I'll pray for you. We're getting prayed for. Isaiah 4:31. I love those who wait on the Lord will what? Renew their strength. While you're waiting, you're growing stronger. No matter what season you're in, while you're waiting for this to happen, it's not just a dead space in your life. Like you're not just sitting here wasting time waiting, like, oh, I hope this prayer happens. I hope. But you're growing stronger. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Your waiting is making you stronger and it's getting you ready for what is to come. It isn't denial. It's a strategic pause getting you ready for what's next. Here's what I want to do. I want to, what I'm going to kind of flow into is the band can come up. I want to spend time as a church. Understand, look, we're early, so I understand if you got to go, that's fine. But I want to spend time as a church praying together. I'm going to have leaders up here in a second. That no one in here is having to go through, I don't want you to think you're ever going through anything alone. Because one of the reasons, like I said earlier, I love this church is because how we fight battles together. And I've seen in this church, we don't just fight them, but we win battles. Because we know that God is on our side. Even in this room, I could feel, before Adrian even said he's here, I was in my seat saying, oh, I can feel him. You know when you just feel him? Oh, you start, for me, I get like, oh, something's different in the room. You know, and I kind of zone out. Like, I know the band's playing. I know she's singing songs, but I kind of zone out. Like, I'm in the moment, but I'm also just kind of, I like feel it on my body. I'm like, oh, something's happening in this room. He's here. And he hasn't left, in case you're wondering. He's here in this room, and so I believe there's miracles waiting in this room. And so we're going to have leaders come up, and we're going to sit here and pray. If you have something you've been waiting on, even if you're so used to just sitting in your seat, that's fine, but I just want to challenge you to get up and come up here. Because whether it's one person, whether it's 10, it doesn't matter. We're going to pray for every single person in here, but I just know that the waiting is discouraged, but I know that victory is coming because I know who God is. And we want to pray with you. We don't want you to wait alone because waiting alone is the whole isolation. That's not healthy. You're part of a family. Whether this is your first time, fifth time, 100th time, the minute you walked in that door, you became a part of a family without even knowing it. And a family that's going to stand in the gap for you and pray with you. When you feel like you're not strong enough, when Moses felt like he couldn't hold up his hands to win the battle, his friends came underneath him and held his arms up. It doesn't matter how tired, how weary you are, we're here to stand with you. I heard this one time, this is what I'm going to close with. I heard this one time that the area in your life where the enemy is fighting you the most is the same area that God's blessings are going to be the greatest. 2017, God fought me and my family the most. I was 25 years old, sitting at home, confused about life, fighting for custody of kids, divorced at 25. I would have never thought it. Never thought it. I said, I had two options. Like, what am I going to do? Why the heck did this happen to me? Like, I was mad. I was almost like, I'm done with God. I'm done with this. But then I said, well, you know what? What if I just decide to keep worshiping anyways? Yeah. Even if I quit and I say I'm done with God, then, you know, I'm done, nothing else can happen. But I said, what if I just cling to it and something, what if something does happen? The area where he fought me the most, guess what? Became the area where I'm blessed the most. The area where he tried to attack me the most, my family's the area where I'm now blessed the most with my kids, with my wife. You can't tell me nothing. If there's one thing I know is that whenever God's got his hand in it, man, there ain't nothing that can stop it. And so if you're in this room and you've kind of been on the edge, you're like, I don't know, I've been waiting for this, I've been praying for this, I need healing in this situation. I've seen miracles in this room. I've seen people come up here and their backs hurt. And they said, oh, I need my back prayed for. And I was in the back kind of skeptical of my Southern Baptist mindset. Oh, no way. And then I see the prayer done. I hear from the next day, oh, my back's completely fine. It happens here in this room where you're sitting. Miracles have happened. Been a part of them. I've watched them from here. I've sat here and prayed with people. I've seen it happen. Nate, you've seen them happen in this room. This room, you're sitting here and it can happen today. And we want to be a part of it. I've seen it happen in my life. You've seen it happen in yours. Miracles are ready. I'm going to pray and we're going to have leaders up here. If y'all come up, anybody who's a leader in the church, if you just want to pray with people, you can come up and we're ready. We want to stand with you. We want to stand in the gap with you. We want to pray for you. Father God, we are so thankful for what you're doing in this church. I'm so thankful what you have brought my family into, that I get to be a part of something so much greater. That in this room, I've seen miracles. I see it happening. That the waiting process isn't as miserable. It isn't bad, because now we have a new mindset of what we do while we're waiting. And I know, God, that the same Spirit that healed people thousands of years ago and still healing them today comes out of our mouth. When we open up our mouth, God, we see mountains move. That you have given us the power. You have given us the authority to see miracles happen. So right now, God, we stand here in the gap and we're ready. God, we beg of you. We want to see you move this morning. We want to feel your presence this morning. The same way that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And it says that Jesus was moved deeply in his spirit. God, we ask of you, we want you to be moved deeply in your spirit today. 4 days he laid there. And you walked up like it was nothing. You said, Lazarus, come out. Like it was nothing. God, we see it happening here and we are ready, God. In your name we pray.